When we come to any baptism in the life of our congregation, it's always my great thought in the weeks and months that leading up to it, what will I preach on? What message will I bring that will be particularly appropriate to the occasion? And quite often we've considered one of the baptisms in the Bible, or we've thought of an example in the Bible, maybe from parents or to children. However, we're not really going to be going down either of those routes this morning. Rather, I have known what I would preach today for a number of months now. I wonder if you figured the verse. Shortly, we're going to be coming to the baptism of a little child who's called Hope. And so I want to speak about the subject of hope, specifically the God of hope. We read in Romans 15, verse 13, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." Trusting that at the very least this theme and this text will be memorable for the family and friends and the church family of Little Hope this morning. And it's my prayer this morning that all of us would know something of the living hope that's offered to us in the gospel of the Lord Jesus. There's four things we want to consider under this subject together. Firstly, the great need for hope. The great need for hope. I wonder what you're hoping for this morning. Some of you might be hoping for good weather this week. Some might be hoping that the teacher forgets to ask for the homework tomorrow morning. Some might be hoping that this sermon doesn't go on too long. Perhaps some of us are hoping for slightly more serious things, better health, hoping for a stable job, a relationship which will go the distance. Parents have high hopes concerning their children. We all hope for something. We all hope for something. But there's no guarantee that we'll get the things we hope for. There's no guarantee that there's going to be good weather this week, as much as we might hope for it. We can't be certain. And we have to say at the very outset that that's not the way the Bible uses the word hope. In the Bible, the word hope, it's not a wish, it's not a fantasy, it's not a vague, fingers crossed, wish upon a star kind of hope. Biblical hope is almost the exact opposite, actually. When the Bible speaks about hope, it's speaking about reality. It's speaking about something that's true, something that's factual, something that God has promised will come to pass. It's a rock-solid confidence in God. It's a rock-solid confidence in God. We read in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, hope is described as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. That's where the BB, the Boys Brigade, gets its motto, sure and steadfast. That verse, how hope is like a sure and steadfast anchor. In other words, it's not flimsy. It's not lightweight. It's not something movable or shakable. It's sure. It's steadfast. Elsewhere, the Bible speaks about a living hope. And it's this kind of hope that we desperately, desperately need. Every man, every woman, every young person, every boy, every girl born into this world needs this kind of hope. Real, solid hope. We need something to anchor our lives on. Something to place our eternal destiny on. And there's lots of people today who think that because they're a little bit religious or because they're quite good people, they think everything's going to turn out fine in the end. They hope everything will turn out fine in the end. They place their hopes in that. Others place their hope in their families or their homes or their pension plans, and they hope in those things. But listen to what the God of the universe says about such people. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. You have no hope. You have no hope like that. Without Jesus, the Bible says you've got no hope. Without the gospel, you have no hope. Without God, you have no hope. Life and life without hope is not worth living at all. In the Second World War, one of the things that happened in the prisoner of war camps, particularly in Japan, was that the soldiers tried to destroy in the captives all sense of hope. They tried to squish out every ounce of hope. And so they fed them all kinds of misinformation, withholding any news that the Allied forces were advancing and gaining ground. Because they knew that if a man lost hope, it would only be a short time before he would give up and die. We need hope. We need hope. And there's so many people today all around us, our friends and our colleagues and our family members, our loved ones, and they don't have this hope. And they're like a car running on empty, running on fumes, really. The petrol warning light is on, and they're desperately trying to get filled up anywhere they can. Maybe this thing will keep me going. Maybe this person will give me hope. Maybe this will lift me up, they say. And they try everything, but nothing's really working. Nothing's working, and they're without hope. That's the Bible's description of life without God. And what a sad way to describe the unconverted. Without hope. Without hope. Maybe that's you this morning. You have this great need for hope. But our verse in the passage, it offers another way to live. Let's look, secondly, the great God of hope. The great God of hope. So this book of Romans, it's a letter the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Rome. It's full of amazing truths about God and the gospel. It's a wonderful book, every word, every phrase put in place by God himself. And at this point in the letter, we're near the end of the letter, Paul's praying for this mixed bag of Christians. And it's very helpful for us. He hasn't met this group ever before. He hasn't been able to visit them yet. Here he is. He's praying for them in this verse. It's phrased for us like a prayer or a benediction. That's something like the way ministers do at the end of a service. This is phrased like a benediction. In other words, this is what Paul wants to be ringing in the ears of his readers. Most of what he's got left to say is personal greetings or final concluding words. But this is his prayer for the Romans. Verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. And at the outset, do you see what he calls God here? He refers to God as the God of hope. The God of hope. In other words, he's the source of hope. He's the giver of hope. If you don't have hope this morning, the first place you need to look for it is to come to the God of hope, asking him, pleading him, begging him to give you this hope. And if you have hope, if you're able to sit here this morning and you know what it's like to have this real and living hope inside you, this sure and steadfast anchor, you should take no credit for that yourself. If you have hope, it's because the God of hope gave it to you. He sent his Son, the Bible says, Jesus Christ, into the world to rescue those who were without hope. And he invites men, women, young people, everywhere to come to him. And he promises that when we do, though our sins were like scarlet, the Bible says, he will make them as white as snow. He assures us that if we entrust ourselves to him, he will pardon us freely for the worst things we've ever done. He'll wash away our sins. If that was all the God of hope did for us, we would be the most privileged people on the face of this earth. Sins forgiven. Right with God. But the Bible actually goes on to tell us the God of hope does more than forgive our sins. He clothes us with the perfect life of the Lord Jesus. He adopts us into his family. He prays for us. He dwells within us by his Spirit, changing us from the outside. He's giving us a new heart that loves him and loves our neighbors. It tells us that he works out all things for our good. He'll never leave us. And even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he will not forsake us. And one day he'll take us to where he is in heaven and will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's what the God of hope gives us. Isn't that a marvelous message of hope? Isn't it a wonderful, glorious hope? All around us, perhaps here this morning, there's this great need for hope. And here it is. It's found in the God we worship and serve, the great God of hope. The great God of hope. Thirdly, then, the great supply of hope. The great need, the great God, the great supply of hope. And we mustn't miss this as we think of this little prayer. Because there are some people, you know, and they think God is like a miserly old man, stingy and grumpy, almost as if he reluctantly gives us a little dose of hope, just enough to keep us going. Like the person who only puts in enough fuel to get the petrol gauge off the red. But that's not the God of the Bible. Listen to this prayer again. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Do you get the language? May he fill you with all joy and peace, so that you may abound in hope. In other words, God doesn't simply give you a little bit of hope. He doesn't just enable you to experience this. He causes you to abound in hope. The image here is of an overflowing cup, a generous, expansive, abundant giving from the God of hope. We're not just holding on with our fingernails to hope, fearing that we might somehow lose out on it. Not at all. God wants us to abound in hope. He's lavish. He's generous in giving hope to his people. And this is one of the most important things you need to hear today, because the great misconception about God is that he is stingy, and people think he's reluctant to give anything to anybody, and that if he gives us hope, what's to say he won't just take it back again? That's not the God of the Bible. It's not the God of hope. The Bible reveals him to be so generous. It speaks of lavish abundance. It speaks of the fullness of God's riches. It speaks of his bountiful giving to us. And you think he's stingy. You think he's a reluctant giver. You think you've missed out on something. Listen to some of these verses. Psalm 130, verse 7. With the Lord there is steadfast love and plentiful redemption. Isaiah 55, verse 7. He will abundantly pardon. John 1, verse 16. From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. Romans 5, verse 5. God's love has been poured into our hearts. Romans 10, verse 12. He bestows his riches on all who call him. Ephesians 1, verses 7 and 8. The riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. God richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Do you get the point? There is a great, great, abundant supply of hope. The great supply of hope. Then lastly, this morning, the great experience of hope. The great experience of hope. Because all of this begs the question, how can we have hope? If God's the God of hope, how does he give it to me? How can I experience this for myself? And this verse tells us two important things. There's something we must do, and there's something that God must do. Let's look at them in turn. In terms of us, we get hope by believing. We get hope by believing. To lay hold of this hope, we must believe in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the verse again. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. And the way Paul's writing here, it's saying that this is a continual believing. It's not a believing that we do 20 years ago at a meeting and then never think about it again. This is something we do over and over again. This believing every day in the Lord Jesus. Because every day we keep on sinning. And we need to keep on believing that God will be faithful and just to forgive us. There's no hope from God unless there is believing in God. And even for a child named Hope this morning, unless she believes in the Lord Jesus Christ as her own Savior, she will be without hope. She will be without hope unless she believes. We get hope by believing. So let me ask you, are you believing in the Lord Jesus? I'm not asking, do you believe he exists? I'm asking, are you believing in the Lord Jesus? In the same way that someone in a burning building entrusts themselves to the fireman to pull them to safety, I'm asking, have you entrusted yourself? Have you entrusted your undying soul to the Lord Jesus? We read in Acts 16:31, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. You will have hope if you believe. We get hope by believing. The second aspect of getting this hope comes from God. We get hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We get hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We see that here in the verse, near the end. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. The Bible speaks of God existing in three distinct persons. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Trinity, each person fully and equally God. We don't have time at all today to unpack all that the Bible says about that. Suffice this morning is that the power of the Holy Spirit is essential for us to experience hope. In other words, from start to finish, it's God who grants hope to us. It's God, the Holy Spirit, who even grants us the faith we need for hope. It's God the Holy Spirit who grants us believing hearts that we need for hope. We need God the Spirit to be working in us to have hope. And if God the Holy Spirit is working in an individual's life, he will stop at nothing to make them abound in hope. So if you're here today, if you're here and you want to experience this kind of solid, real, lasting hope, the hope of everlasting life with Jesus in heaven, if you want that, that's because the Spirit is already beginning a work in you. And if He's begun a work in you, you ask Him. You ask Him to so work in you that you may abound in hope. Ask Him to fill your cup to overflowing with hope. And for those we know and love this morning who are without hope, for our neighbors, our friends, our little children, let's ask God, the Holy Spirit, to do a work in them, giving them hope, giving them joy, giving them peace, so that they overflow with real hope. Let's make Paul's prayer our prayer. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Amen.